From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Max, sitting in for Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made every Blursday in front of a television set. Blursday is one of Oxford Dictionary's defining words of 2020, and it refers to how during the pandemic, the days of the week just seem to blur together. Many of us have spent those days indulging in TV shows and films. Some are an escape from reality, a distraction. Others provide a much-needed laugh. And still others are just, well, have you seen Love is Blind? And at the end of each year on this program, we take a look back at the shows and films that have created buzz. And this year is no different. But when we asked you, our listeners, about what you've been watching, we were flooded with responses like never before. I guess we shouldn't have been surprised. Hub Entertainment Research reports that the four big streaming services, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, and Disney Plus, all saw an increase in subscribers during the pandemic. 28% of consumers say they signed up for at least one new streaming service since February. And looking at Netflix data from Forbes, the streaming service added nearly 16 million subscribers in the first 3 months of the year and more than 10 million between April and June. When it comes to broadcast TV, Comcast reports that since early March, viewership on its television platforms has increased 8 hours a week per household. That's an extra workday's worth of content. So what about you? What have your viewing habits changed? How have they changed? What are the shows or films of the year in your mind? Best? Worst? What's your guilty pleasure? What drew you to them? We'll talk about all of that this hour with you and our guests. Joining me on the phone, Vanessa Cheeks, organizer of the Anomaly Film Festival and Pedro Pascal's biggest fan. Vanessa, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Hannah Davis teaches classes on folklife and American culture at RIT. Hannah, welcome to you.
Hi, thanks.
Mark Myra is here. He's the co-host of the Gentleman's Club podcast. Mark, welcome to you.
Hello.
And Danielle Ramo, owner of the Rochester Brainery, who, when she's not running her own business, is watching New Girl, among many, many other things. Danielle, welcome back.
Thank you. That is so true. My biography, right?
And listeners, we're going to have some fun this hour, and we want to hear from you, too. So tell us about your year in TV and film viewing. You can join the conversation by calling 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255. Or if you're in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. You can also email the program at connections@wxxi.org, and you can find me on Twitter at mmacmedia. So I'd like to start with sort of a broad question for all of you. Early in the pandemic, many people were of the mindset that because so much in society was shut down, maybe we'd get some of those long-desired projects done, like start that novel we've always wanted to write, or work out a lot more, or if you're like me, listen to those voicemails that have just piled up on my phone. But then, at least for me, and I'm sure many other people, the emotion of the pandemic kind of caught up with us, and maybe you turned to television. So did that describe you? Mark, I'll start with you. How did you approach the pandemic?
Okay, there was definitely no novel, like, at all in my future, but I have three kids, so we were like, we were just kind of dealing with them not being in school. So it was kind of that whole thing. And I kept my job through most of the pandemic. So it was almost, and I had to go in, and it was almost like business as usual. But it's going to sound real sad, but like, I feel like I was at the same level of watching TV before the pandemic that I am now. Like, there's just always been a ton of TV watching. So it's helped through it, but I was always watching a lot of TV.
Did what you watched changed at all? Did you move into a different genre? Did you pick up a streaming service that you didn't have before?
No, I feel like you want me to say there was like a lot of change, but I am like pathetically into TV. Like I had all the streaming services beforehand. I still have all the streaming services. Like, I was angry that my Roku didn't have HBO Max, and now, like, I feel fulfilled again that my Roku stick, has HBO Max. So I'm just like, I've been riding this thing on the same level for years. I've been pandemic style for like 5 years now.
Hey, I'm not trying to lead you in any direction. I'm glad that this is your approach. That's what put you on this panel. We asked on social media, who watches more TV than anyone you know? All of you volunteered. Mm-hmm. And whether it was like a proud raise your hand or an embarrassed, hey, it's me, I watch New Girl, raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Danielle. You all are qualified to be on this program. Hannah, how about you? Did your viewing habits change at all?
Yeah, they did. I turn to TV when I'm stressed, kind of regardless of other stuff going on. I ended up spending, as I joked on Twitter, the last 9 months on the sofa. I work from home lots anyway as a university lecturer. I think clicking on something like Love is Blind is pretty conducive to grading. So there was lots of that happening, kind of background TV. there's been more TV than ever, for sure. I am absolutely one of those people who set out to do lots of new things. I was going to start running more again. I was going to read more. I was going to make a whole lot of stuff. And I know my husband's laughing at me right now for saying that on the radio, because none of it happened. I just watch TV. I don't think I totally regret it.
Hey, no shame. I'm with you. And I watch the Golden Girls like constantly. So I haven't even invested in that many new shows. So you're all well ahead of me. Vanessa Cheeks, I'm sure you're like Mark, where you watch so much. That's why we invited you on this program. Has anything changed for you viewing habit wise?
Yeah, I would say, I guess like a little bit the opposite of Mark is I am a terrible television series watcher. It is very hard for me to actually get into a show as far as like watching a series regularly on air, to the point where like even if I like a show, if I miss a couple episodes, I could never watch it again and be perfectly fine with that. But the pandemic really it's just because I love movies so much, and the pandemic really made me switch those gears, because now all these television series that I missed out on, I was able to binge. And so literally I would just spend hours, you know, my days off, sitting in my kitchen and watching these movies or watching these shows. And all of a sudden I look up and it's dark outside. I haven't eaten in like 6 hours. I'm like, what day is it? Where am I?
It's Thursday.
So the pandemic for me really changed me getting into shows that I had missed. I binged New Girl. I only made it up to the Prince episode. And then I was like, okay, I've seen enough. I'm done now. And then the same with The Office. Everyone had always been talking about The Office. I had never seen it. And so I binged it up until Jim and Pam's wedding. I was like, all right, I can get off this ride now. We're good. The Mandalorian has been a staple in my household, my studio apartment. But really, it's made me also able just to binge movie after movie. I have all the subscriptions and every movie that I would want to watch. I also have a box of DVDs that I've been catching up on as well. So I've been spending a lot of time watching some stuff.
I love it. Do you want to talk about Pedro Pascal a little bit?
I love him. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know if anybody else on the show is a Mandalorian fan, but first off, Star Wars is fantastic. It is a fantastic world in and of itself, but you're literally watching a Western in space with the hottest guy, and you don't even see his face most of the time. That's what gets you. But then when you do, it's magic. It's movie magic, but in a very condensed series, and I love it.
Rob says he's so sad the series is done until next year. I know, Hannah, you've been watching that too.
I have, yeah, and I'm not a Star Wars person, but over the last week, actually, I hadn't seen the first season, but I went ahead and started the second season of The Mandalorian literally a week ago, and had to watch it real quick so I didn't get any spoilers, and it was great. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Thank you. And now I've gone back and started the first season. I'm like halfway through, but I'm so glad to be watching. It is. It's a Western with great music and different visuals, and it's really fun.
Danielle, I'm going to bring you in. I know we've talked about New Girl already, but you've been watching a lot of shows. In fact, Danielle has introduced me to some of my favorite shows of the year, which is partially why she's on this program. How have your viewing habits changed?
Yeah, I mean, TV has kind of always been my escape as well. Reading is great, and I love it, but it keeps me up. If I read a book at night, I will stay up all night. So I tend to watch something – sometimes I'll fall asleep, I'll finish it the next day or something. But anyway, I tend to lean a little bit more towards television as my escape. And, you know, being a small business owner during a pandemic, you'd like to escape a lot. So I watched a lot of TV. And I definitely went through, you know, I love indoor plants. I got into outdoor plants. I did a lot of gardening. I went through all of the phases of, you know, pandemic cooking, certainly. But definitely the thing that I did the most of this year outside of working, I think, was catching up on television shows. Yeah.
Well, I sent all of you some categories to consider when it comes to shows and films of the year. We'll get to those in a moment. But right now, I'd like to know what your show of the year is. It doesn't have to mean best or worst or whatever. It's just the show that defined the year for you, if you had to pick one. Danielle, I'm going to have you go first. I know that's a broad question. But if you had to pick one show to define 2020, what show was that for you?
I know that it wasn't. I know that it wasn't a 2020 show. And that you already mentioned it, but I think I rewatched all the seasons of New Girl like 5 times in preparation for the show. I went on Netflix, I went on, you know, Hulu, all the platforms, and I checked out my viewing history, which is a scary thing to do, but I have the worst memory in the world. So I wanted to make just a list of everything that I watched. And as I went through, I was like, oh my gosh, but the one thing that I could not look up, or at least I don't think so, which is probably a good thing, was how many times you watched each episode. And even though it was in a 2020 show, New Girl got me.
What made it your show? What was it about New Girl that made it the show for you this year?
I mean, the thing for me is that it's just so funny. And I am a comedy person. So a lot of the shows that I end up watching, and I'm sure we'll end up getting to this stuff, but like The Great and different shows like that I really loved this year, like they all have comedy involved. All the Marvel stuff, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like they all have some amount of comedy involved, even if it's action or horror or whatever. There's always like some amount of comedy. And it just made me laugh. There was just nothing that made me laugh more and kind of forget about everything that was going on.
I know escaping was a big thing for you this year, and I have a question for you later in the hour just about that. But so I'm going to put New Girl on our list for 2020 listeners. Comedy, New Girl. Mark, show of the year for you.
Is this best show or show of the year? It's like too different for me.
Yeah, it's like the show that has defined the year for you. Best is a separate category.
All right, look, this is not going to make me look good. This is a lot of this is going to make me look bad. After my wife and I, we put like the kids to sleep. We like for like an hour, we just ignore each other on the couch and like text or whatever. Not text. No, more like just snoop on Facebook. But you need some like background TV to, you know, for like the silences and whatnot. But we don't want to watch anything that we really care about. So we're like constantly putting on that show Ridiculousness on MTV with Rob Dyrdek, where like, I don't know, people are getting hit in the groin and stuff like that. Look, Rob Dyrdek's awful. He's like made out of Mountain Dew. It's not a great show. Okay. It's for children. It's for like the worst people. But it's just, you know, it's like that background noise. It's like Seinfeld on TBS. It's on like 24/7 on MTV. So we just toss that bad boy on and ignore each other for an hour until we watch some, like reach like 9 o'clock, and then we're like, okay, it's like quality programming time. So I would say Ridiculousness is like, it's been like the background noise of our lives for the pandemic.
See, you've defined what I mean about show of the year. That's exactly what I mean. What is the background noise?
I feel good about it.
That's okay. There is no shame or judgment on this show. Just in our own heads, not expressing it publicly.
Yeah.
And how about you? Show of the year.
Yeah, this is a super hard question because I want to say something. Like, I want to, like, you know, give a shout out to some great TV shows that I think are related to this year. But it's just like being too complimentary to 2020. So I'm going to go with Alone, which we got really, really into over the summer because we started hiking and camping lots to get away from everything. And I think we learned some really great self-sufficiency skills, outdoorsy skills. If for people who haven't seen the show, because I hadn't seen this before the summer, even heard of it, people get dropped in the wilderness in like the Arctic in Canada, or there's a island, or South America, somewhere really, really remote, and they have to fend for themselves for a period of time, and whoever lasts the longest wins. And I'm sure there's some analogy there for 2020.
I was going to say, that sounds analogous, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know if it's quality television, but it kept us entertained, and it didn't require a whole lot of thinking.
There you go. All right. Vanessa Cheeks, show of the year.
So, like, my heart wants to say The Mandalorian. I do. I love it. It's definitely top on the list. But really, I would have to say the best show for me has been Lovecraft Country. It's on HBO Max. It stars Jonathan Majors, and it's basically, for people who haven't seen it, a show about a guy who comes back from the war. He's looking for his dad, and it has a lot of Lovecraftian tones, and it's like a weird sci-fi series. But what I love about it is it's a lot of Black subculture, a lot of Black nerd culture in it, and it really connects people with like the Black culture in that time, because it's set in like the 60s, and it's just it's just a beautiful show, and it's beautiful in the writing. It's had its ups and downs. Some episodes not so great, but I think just overall, it really has rekindled my love for sci-fi, especially H.P. Lovecraft, and who was an ardent racist. So the fact that there's like a whole cast of Black people showcasing a lot of his work is absolutely hysterical to me. But just the acting, the cast, the writing, the directing, everything about it is just lovely to me.
That is the one show that all of you, of everything you've mentioned, that has shown up on a best show of 2020 list. And again, not all the shows you mentioned were 2020 shows, but you know, you read those articles, they have the list here, the top 10, the top 50, whatever it is. That show, Lovecraft Country, has shown up on nearly every list that I've seen. I have not seen it myself. I'm sure others of you on the program have. Anybody want to weigh in on Lovecraft Country?
Yeah,
I loved it.
I was saving that for the best of the year. I said, it feels too kind to 2020. It's so good. You have to watch it. It's beautiful. And yeah, absolutely. Some episodes are better than others, but it, you know, there's so many connections to current events, unfortunately. But I actually was able to use it in some of my classes and share it with some students to teach about redlining and things like the Green Book. And it's just a really great show.
Super Teach on
and
Twitter.
It's got monsters.
Oh, go ahead. What was that?
No, I was going to say, and it's got monsters, so you can't
go
wrong.
Exactly.
See, it's interesting. I've only read a little about this, and the more I listen to you, the more I'm like, I don't know if the show is for me. And Super Teach on Twitter just wrote, what about Lovecraft Country, which got progressively creepier and more intense with every episode?
It was interesting because I'm usually not so much a sci-fi person. My mom actually loves sci-fi, and my mom and dad were watching it and recommended that we watch Lovecraft Country, and it was really, really good. And yeah, usually I'm not someone who gravitates towards like sci-fi type stuff, but I loved this show, and it's definitely one that I've recommended to a lot of people to watch. Megan, I think I recommended it to you.
You did. It was in a parking lot. You told me about it. I remember. Mark, have you seen it?
I feel like this is going to be very unpopular. I hated it.
Ooh.
I think it was because, like, I finished Watchmen on HBO, and I was like, oh, I want some more Watchmen. And then I went into Lovecraft Country being like, oh, this seems, I don't know, it's got, like, the sci-fi type stuff going on. I know Watchmen is more superhero. I was like, you know, it's hitting on some of the same issues. And then I watched like three episodes and I was like, this is so boring. But look, I watched after three episodes. I stopped watching after three episodes. Maybe the fourth episode was like really good or something, you know?
No.
I'm missing out.
I hate when people are like, no, you just have to get to X episode and then you'll be then it's great. If I'm not in on episode one, I am not watching this ever again. I have other things that I'm supposed to be doing that I'm not going to do, and we're just going to move on. So it's okay if you don't like it.
So it's a good thing you're not all in the same room. You've all calmed down a little bit. I'd have to hold Vanessa Cheeks like in away from Mark right now. But Vanessa, you bring up something really interesting about that whole, you got to get through episode 4 or season 1 or whatever it is before you really appreciate it. And so many people say that about Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T-S. I just want to tell all our guests, if you talk about that show, please spell it for FCC purposes. Thank you, FCC. And I loved it from episode 1, and I think that's because I'm very partial to Catherine O'Hara. But I don't know. Have any of you, what do you think about Vanessa's thought process there? Do you give a show time, or if you don't like episode 1, you're out? Mark?
I usually give it some, I mean, if it's just awful from the beginning or just not, you know, it's like Big Bang Theory or something, I'm not giving it 4 episodes. But that show with the S word in it, but spelled differently, I kind of felt the same way, but it was good enough to hold me for, you know, at least a season, and then it just got better and better from there.
Go ahead, Danielle.
Oh, yeah, I was just, a lot of people told me about Creek, you know, that to kind of like get through, you know, maybe like the first, it's like a get it growing and getting to know the characters kind of thing, I think. And I love that series. And I go back and I watch the first season and I think no differently of that first season than the rest of the seasons that I love so much. But it did take me, you know, a couple episodes to get into it. And I think the same thing was like that for me about Parks and Recreation, which is one of my favorite shows of all time as well. And the first season again, too, I think, again, it's just getting to know the characters for some reason. And then you get into season 2 and 3 and love it. And then I went back and watched season 1 and loved it just as much.
Hannah, what about you? Are you a one and done or do you give it time?
I have such a low bar for being entertained that I tend to just like wait it out unless it's a real stinker. With let's say S Creek, totally. I felt the same way. That's a good point. Comparing it to Parks and Rec, it's very much that situation where you have to kind of wait it out until it gets really good. But the reason that show's so great is that the characters develop so wonderfully, and you totally fall in love with them over the course of a few seasons. It feels kind of fitting that the first season, everyone's kind of lukewarm on it. You know, these people don't start out particularly likable, and I think we learn to love them. And you know, maybe it's appropriate that we have to slog through some stuff first.
Mona on Twitter says, "Tell the audience how you forced me to watch Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T. I was grateful, yes, but you were almost violent about it." That's a bit of an exaggeration, Mona, but I did feel like you would like it once you got into it. And if I'm not mistaken, you did. So I wanted to ask our guests now, let's go through some of those categories. Because listeners, if you are hearing this program, you want to get out of your TV comfort zone, or maybe you're hearing some names you don't recognize when it comes to titles. Now's the chance. Get that paper and pen. Write down some of these new series if you're looking for something new. When it comes to best show or film, I'll have you choose one. I know that's not fair, but we have limited time. Best show of 2020, Vanessa Cheeks. Best show or film?
Best show, like, overall?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna jump off a cliff here. And technically it's not 2020, but I'm just going to say it. The Dark Crystal on Netflix is the best show, and it should have been continued. It's only one season, and if you binge anything and you really like puppets, that's the way to go.
Okay. Fair enough. Hannah Davis.
I'm going to go with Lovecraft Country. I'm sticking to my guns.
All right. Mark Myra.
All right. Like, look, I love Mandalorian, but I also want to sound super cool when I'm on WXXI. So I'm going to go with Dark, which is on Netflix. And it's like, if you're into like German film noir that deals with time travel and interdimensional travel, just grab the kids and watch 3 seasons of Dark. It is really good. And I think I did the dubbed version, so it was like dubbed over in English because I hate reading. But I think if you're into reading, you can do the subtitle version. And yeah, just amazing.
All right. Danielle Ramo.
The Great.
You told me to watch The Great. If listeners are not familiar, tell us about The Great and why that was your best show of the year.
Yeah, so The Great is, I'm trying to remember the tagline that they used for the show. Oh, an occasionally true story about Catherine the Great. And I just think it's entertaining, it's comedic. It's loosely based on something historical. And when I read historical fiction. So it makes sense that if there's a show that is at least so a little bit based on history, I'll probably enjoy it mixed with comedy. And I just, I enjoyed every single episode and just binge watched the whole series.
Jim via email says, Better Call Saul once again continues the character development that made the franchise the best TV ever. That's his best show. Writing, directing, acting, it's got it all. Mandalorian and The Crown right up there too, though. We haven't talked about The Crown yet. That was a big show of this year. Thoughts on The Crown?
It's good.
I love that show.
Yeah, I love The Crown.
Mm-hmm. And another one that is popular that we have not discussed yet, which I'm sure will come up at some point, is The Queen's Gambit. Mari says, some of my favorite shows, Queen's Gambit, Better Things, shows with strong female characters.
Love it.
Are you guys big Queen's Gambit fans?
I loved Queen's Gambit. And of course, like on Instagram, a couple days after I finished watching it, like a really cool chess set came up. And I was like, ooh, I should get this. And then I said, Danielle, take a step back. Just because you watched the Queen's Gambit, you do not need this.
Oh, I did that.
I feel like Queen's Gambit is like Karate Kid, where when it comes out, everybody's going to be in chess to like chess now when they're 8 years old.
Chessboard sales have been up since that show came out. 1A did a whole episode on that. That's so interesting. Other episodes, let's see. Scott on Twitter says, Ted Lasso is my top show. It's goofy, smart, and extremely funny. Any thoughts on Ted Lasso? That's on Apple TV, I believe.
I haven't seen it, but I saw that tweet, and now I'm dying to because it sounds great. So thank you for the recommendation.
It's been complimented for being a show about kindness. And I think Evan's mentioned it on this program before. But it's just a show about a fish-out-of-water guy who goes to coach soccer or football in England. And, you know, he was hired for reasons that I won't disclose right now. But he doesn't fit in. He's the nicest guy. And it's all about, you know, even if you're quirky and have a heart of gold, nice things can happen. And maybe in 2020 we needed a show like that where kindness wins. What do you all think about that? Themes of 2020 when it comes to TV. Hannah, do you think we needed something that was a little more kindness, comedy? Or do you think, as I think it was The Atlantic pointed out, some people derive psychological comfort from dystopian or bleak entertainment?
Yeah, I'm not one of those people. So, of course we need kindness. We need kindness all the time, but especially this year. I'm thinking about Queen's Gambit actually right now because I've seen some criticism online about it treating the main character too kindly and about how there's a lack of misogyny there, a lack of sexism, and she's too successful. Just in real life, this would never happen. You know, that's a terrible example of a show that's warm and fuzzy and, you know, kind of heartening. It's pretty dark at times. But, of course we need kindness. That's why I love Schitt's Creek. I think we'll probably end up talking about Bake Off at some point. Shows like that really helped me get through this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about worst shows, because why not? For the worst show of 2020, Vanessa Cheeks. What was yours? Or film? This is TV and film.
Yeah. I would say, since I am typically kind of bail on TV shows pretty easily, I would go for, so I can't be a good judge of that. I would go mostly for films. I would say the worst one that I've watched, I think I didn't even finish it, was Extraction, which is a Chris Hemsworth film, early 2020. Basically, he's like a mercenary that tries to save this kid. It's a mess. But I hated it. I hated it so much because it tried to be a video game and it tried to distract me with Chris Hemsworth's pretty face, and it did not work. And so I just had to shut it off. That and like The Old Guard with, what's her face? That woman. I don't remember her name. She's super popular. I should know who she is, but it was the same kind of like, I don't want to call them fake action movies, but it's like all thriller, no filler. Mm. And I didn't like it at all.
Okay. Danielle Ramo, worst show or film of 2020?
Okay. This is a very hard category. category for me. Anything worse is just because I feel like I have a hard time criticizing something that I would never be able to come close to doing myself. I don't know. I hand it to all these shows and all these movies and everything. I didn't really have a worst show or a worst film. I watched all of them. They all, you know, gave me some kind of comfort in 2020. There wasn't anything that I really turned off. I don't really have one. I know. It's. I wish I did. I don't. I'm sorry.
Moving on. No, I'm just kidding. Mark Myra. That's okay. That's good. It's good. Worst show of 2020. Worst show or film, Mark?
I didn't want to do like the easy thing where you get like, oh, Young Sheldon sucks or something, you know, because although like a lot of those network, you know, sitcoms are awful, but I was really thinking about it. And this is a show I liked and watched all of it. So Tiger King, like, remember like beginning of the quarantine where we were all like watching Tiger King, making fun of these people. And it was like collectively something we all loved. And I was thinking about it. And like, after watching it, this dude was keeping these poor tigers in like crates and just like barbed wire, and the tigers were dying. He was feeding people old meat. He tried to get that one lady killed by another guy. He's in prison. They're in prison. Like, everybody's in prison. And like the way it was like, we were watching it like it was a comedy. This should have been like one of those like dark HBO style crime documentaries or something. Like, we should all, as a country, be ashamed of ourselves for liking Tiger King so much. So I'm saying Tiger King. Like, we ruined our soul. It's over for us, you know?
That's the new tagline.
Well, correction, though. Carol Baskin is not in prison. She's on Dancing with the Stars, so.
Isn't that its own kind of prison, though?
Yeah.
I don't think, she's not treating those tigers good either, the ones she has.
Oh, no, she's not. She's the worst.
Right. Shouldn't they be in, like, a jungle or something?
Okay, there's an effort now to set. Has there been an effort to save the tigers? I know very little about the show except that it's about prison and tigers. No, I'm kidding. But I'm sure there's some effort, right, to save the tigers? Kindness 2020?
Sure, let's all hope.
Let's all hope. Something good will come out of this worst show that Mark has named. Hannah Davis,
don't
worst
Google
show.
It.
Okay, I won't. Hannah Davis, worst show of 2020.
I'm going to go with Emily in Paris, which was just a steaming pile of crap, and I loved every second of it.
Okay, so if I knew, well, okay, so I loved Emily in Paris, too. This is Danielle, sorry, chiming in.
So was it, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, I think that there was a lot of stuff that, yeah, it was all guilty pleasures. That's why I was having trouble coming up with the worst, because I still enjoyed it, even though it was a guilty pleasure.
Okay, that's fair. That is a separate category. Hannah, do you want to shift that to guilty pleasure category, or do you want to, okay.
I have to say, I'm in the same boat. I have very little guilt. These two categories have lots of overlap. But can we take this opportunity to talk about Love is Blind, please?
I would love to.
Great. Fantastic. Also a steaming pile of crap that I love every second of. Please tell me I'm not alone.
That was my guilty pleasure.
Great.
So tell us, the audience, about Love is Blind, if they've had the, you know, the unfortunate circumstance of missing it. Or the fortunate circumstance.
That feels like a whole other lifetime. This was early 2020, and so it's a little bit fuzzy at this point. But couples who had not previously met each other got married, and we got to watch the fallout, basically. One of the couples is still together. I think there were like six couples in all. It was messy. It was really, really messy. And it was, you know, there are very few likable people, at least from my perspective. One woman, I think her name was Jessica, internet loves to hate. Yeah, she has her golden retriever, like, on camera drinking red wine. You know, there's a lot of that happening. It was really entertaining. Yes. Did you miss this?
There were people on Twitter writing, Merry Christmas, or, you know, Happy Holidays to everybody but the coronavirus and Jessica from Love is Blind. There's some real angst about Jessica. But to your point, Hannah, I mean, it's an addictive show because it's just so ridiculous in so many ways. And to the point you were making, Mark, about noise in the background, I don't know. This could be noise or it could be real investment. So it depends on where you
fine
fall.
Line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. David on Twitter says, Disney Plus had two terrible pieces of garbage in The Secret Society of Secondborn Royals and Artemis Fowl. Utter garbage.
Oh, Artemis Fowl was trash. That Harry Potter wannabe with Colin Farrell is just that trash garbage. Hated it.
Okay, we've gone down the path of guilty pleasure, and we do have to take our break. So I'm going to finish up the guilty pleasure category. We'll take our break, calm down, and we'll come back and talk about more shows. Hannah, guilty pleasure, Love is Blind. Mark, guilty pleasure.
So basically, like, anything on Bravo TV, like, if Andy Cohen is getting a paycheck from it, I'm into it. Like, Below Deck Med.
Yeah.
It's amazing, just like these people in their, like, hot people in their 20s working with an angry chef and, like, a wise old captain, like, backstabbing each other with, like, TikTokers, like, on, you know, paying to be on these yachts. It's amazing. And then I just love The Real Housewives of Orange County, mainly because there was, like, just the last episode, like, COVID is hitting right now on Real Housewives of Orange County. And there was these two ladies, and they were having, like, dinner together, and they were maskless talking to each other at the kitchen table. And they're talking about COVID, and they're screaming at each other about, like, white wine or something. And then one of the ladies, like, the oven bell rang, so she had to go get something out of the oven. She then put a bunch of PPE on to go to the oven to grab the food and then took it off to go, like, scream in this lady's face again. It's the best thing I've ever seen. And now that COVID is hitting, they're like, they're dealing with it so awful.
Fair enough. Vanessa, guilty pleasure.
I think mine's a little more wholesome. It's Great British Bake Off. But it's only because I can't stand reality TV. I wish I did. I love drama and mess, but for some reason, it just, like, it ignites a rage inside of me that I can't quell, so I stay away from all that stuff. But Great British Bake Off is my guilty pleasure because I like to watch them bake things I could never attempt in a million years.
Danielle, guilty pleasure.
Definitely cooking shows and reality TV. I've watched a lot of, like, the holiday Bake Off kind of shows, like Thanksgiving, all the holiday theme, like Next in Fashion, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, all about it. Guilty pleasure.
All right. Team, we have to take our short break before Rob gets really upset with me. So we're going to do that. Oh, he's laughing. We're going to take our short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about overrated shows, underrated shows, most bingeable shows, and then some pandemic-specific questions that I have for our guests. And lots more from our listeners. 844-295-TALK. That's 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Back with more Connections next. I'm Megan Mack. Tuesday on The Next Connections, New York is in its second week of administering COVID-19 vaccines to people in phase one of the process. Do you have questions about the vaccines? Or what you need to know when it's your turn? You can ask the experts in our first hour. Then in our second hour, what can we do to safely socialize during the pandemic winter? We'll explore local outdoor activities and excursions for people of all ages. Talk to you Tuesday. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today on Connections. We're talking about TV and film in 2020. The best, the worst, your guilty pleasures, what you want your friends to watch or not watch. My guests this hour are Vanessa Cheeks, Hannah Davis, Mark Myra, and Danielle Ramo, some of the biggest TV and film buffs in our community. Lots of feedback from our listeners. Peter in East Rochester called to say his movie of the year was on Netflix. It was My Teacher, The Octopus. I want to look at a list from CBS News about the worst films of the year, and they listed Irresistible as one of them. That's Jon Stewart's political comedy with Steve Carell, where his character goes to quote-unquote real America. He shows up in the Midwest and tries to help a farmer navigate a run for office. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because the San Francisco Chronicle hammered it for not being funny, number one, and also not being logical. And they said they hope to see more from Jon Stewart. He kind of sidestepped the whole political conversation. We haven't really talked about politics in this discussion. And Mark Myros, I'll start with you. Did you want to see politics on TV or in film in 2020?
I definitely did. I mean, I'm fine. Like when something is talking about social issues of the day or political issues of the day, but I definitely did not want to see anything where it was just like literally making fun of like President Trump, just because it's like so hack at this point. Like there's only so many jokes like about like Cheetos you can make. So like, I'm fine with like the social commentary, political commentary, but it has to be done in a more like creative way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, how about you? Politics, yes or no?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think if I ever want to see politics on TV, I'll just rewatch The West Wing. Like I can access it anytime, but I think anything more current is just kind of fodder at this point, and it's almost like too real. It's like if you're making a joke about it, it's like please stop. Like I'm living this life, and I don't want to joke about it right now. And then anything serious is, I think, sometimes missing the mark. So if it's an escape, I don't want to see it on TV.
So that brings me to my next point, and this is about the pandemic. So some shows have tried to work the pandemic into their plot lines. Whether or not that's effective is up for the audience to decide. But Danielle, I remember having a conversation with you off the air about Superstore, and Superstore, a comedy on NBC, and how in the store they're dealing with the pandemic, they're wearing PPE. And Danielle, you were not a fan of having that as part of the storyline. Yes?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And if I can just note about the political stuff, The Politician, I loved this year, and I was fine with that. But yeah, in terms of like the pandemic coming into TV, is this supposed to be my escape? So I haven't really found myself gravitating towards anything that, kind of the characters are also dealing with the pandemic. I feel like a lot of shows that were kind of restarting in the fall, like brought me back to March, which was just a nightmare. And like, I just didn't necessarily want to relive that. And they're all doing it a little bit differently, like Superstore, Black-ish, American Housewife are all shows that I watch, and they're all dealing with the pandemic very differently, in the shows.
Mm-hmm. Hannah, what about you? Do you want to escape the pandemic, or do you not mind if it's in one of the shows you're watching?
I think it totally depends on the context. I know there have been a few, I don't know if they're comedies or not because I haven't watched them, but a few series where people, actors and actresses, are participating like via Zoom. And that is something I've stayed so far away from because I Zoom all day, every day, and I've had quite enough of it. Thank you very much. But stuff like The Bachelorette, I will totally confess to watching that. The virus and quarantining and all that is kind of central to how the show is structured right now. And that I don't mind that so much. That's reality TV, like, seems fair enough, and it kind of adds to the absurdity of it. So I don't mind that.
One show we haven't talked about yet is Sex Education. Andrew
Yes.
says, on the surface, it seems like this will be a raunchy teen comedy, but dig deeper, and I think it's one of the best coming-of-age shows in years. Hilarious and heartbreaking. Can't wait for season 3. Danielle, was it you that said yes?
That was me, Hannah.
Oh, Hannah,
sorry.
Go ahead. No, no.
Keep my mouth shut.
I wish I could see all of you. So tell us about Sex Education. Big fan?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. And the first season was as good as the second season was as good as the first season. Yeah. I keep talking, though, so if other people have seen it, pipe up.
I love Sex Education, too. That was definitely one of my favorite shows of the year.
Sex Education, big on the list. A few listeners writing in about docuseries, and there's a cult series that several people have written in about. I just lost it. NXIVM, escaping. Am I saying that right? You all know more than I do. Escaping NXIVM. It's a TV series on HBO about a cult. This is something I have not heard of, but Kat, Michelle, both writing about it.
I think that's the one where because that actress from Supergirl was like involved in a cult, and I think this is a docuseries detailing the inner workings of this sex cult.
Mm-hmm. They're raving about this, so There's a docuseries. In other nonfiction news, The Atlantic was touting How to with John Wilson on HBO as unexpectedly profound. Have any of you seen that?
No.
Okay. Ooh. We're learning. We're adding to the list. Another one that came up in some of the nonfiction lists was The Last Dance, the ESPN Netflix documentary about Michael Jordan's final season with the Bulls.
Oh, that was amazing.
I heard a lot about that. I watched part of it. I'm a self-proclaimed non-sports fan, unless it's Olympic sports. No, sorry, everybody. But I really got driven into that storyline. I really appreciated that.
It's good. And then just like Dennis Rodman, the whole part about Dennis Rodman, I just was in awe. I was like, I could never get away with this at my job and still show up after partying in Vegas, doing a no-call, no-show, and still have work. And they're like, you know what? Sure. Suit up, hit the court. I was like, ah. I aspire.
We're down to our last few minutes, so I want to go through a few more categories with our guests. And the first is most overrated. Hannah, most overrated show of 2020.
I want to jokingly say Cuomo's briefings. But that's
maybe the news I would like to second that.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, that's maybe getting into a whole other conversation. This is something I haven't even watched. I refuse to, but people seem to really like it. Hillbilly Elegy, obviously a movie, not a series. But I'm like, I'm putting my foot down. No, I'm not watching it. The book is garbage. It's garbage. No.
I like how much the word garbage has been used on this program.
Well, you won't let us say the other word.
You have to spell it out and talk about the TV show. That's the rule. But that show is gold, Jerry, gold. Vanessa Cheeks, most overrated show of 2020.
I think that I might have to pass on this one because I am not entirely, like, I don't really watch. I think I'm missing out on a lot of things that people are, like, currently watching, I guess. I'm a little late to the party sometimes, so I have no idea. And all the shows that I'm watching, I love, so.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know.
Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, most overrated.
All right, so I have one for show, and I don't have much to say for it other than it's been on for, like, 9 seasons, and I've watched a few episodes, and I was like, this is awful for how much people love it. Shameless? Just awful. Like, I couldn't get into that. And then for a movie, I'm thinking of ending this, or I'm thinking of ending things on Netflix. And it just like seemed like very pretentious, like artsy type movie. And I was watching it and just my brain was dying while watching it. So if you don't want your brain to die, don't watch I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Okay. Danielle Remo, most overrated in 2020.
I was just going to, you know, kind of say Tiger King again. You know, I did watch it myself, too. It got very, very popular. It really did.
Yeah, absolutely. For most underrated, we're running out of time, but a lot of feedback came in on social media and just around the office here. People saying Dead to Me was very underrated. Dead to Me with Christina Applegate. What was that on? Was that a Netflix show? Lots of twists and turns. I enjoyed that show. How about, Danielle, you like that?
Yeah, I did.
Vanessa, Mark, Hannah, any thoughts on Dead to Me?
Oh, I've never
seen it.
I saw the first season, and it was really good. I for whatever reason, I didn't watch the second season.
So I'm glad you said that. I loved the first season, and I kept being surprised by it. When the second season came, and Danielle, I don't know if you agree with this, sometimes it was just, like, a little too much. Some of the twists were just, like, a little too, like, really, are you going to go there? But maybe I'm being too critical. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked the second season, too. I can maybe see how you feel that way, though.
Well, we won't give you any spoilers, listeners, in case you want to check it out. It's so hard.
I don't want to say anything. Who's going to watch?
So we're down to our last few minutes, and I want to go around the table, so the phone table, one more time for each of our guests. And we've talked about defining series of or films of 2020, and what I'd like to know is what each of you are looking forward to in 2021, whether it's a show or a film or just how TV or film may be changing. And I'll start with you, Vanessa. What are you most looking forward to next year?
Besides The Mandalorian, which is really high on my list, as well as the book. Boba Fett series. I'm really enjoying the fact that, especially when you're using streaming services, some of these series are shorter, which I know is counterintuitive, but when one season is like almost 30 episodes, that's really when a show loses me because sometimes it's garbage. But with shows like The Mandalorian, it's 8 episodes and they're 8 fantastic episodes. And like that to me, and that idea of having these, I would say, small batch episodes or series is a really great way to go.
All right. Hannah Davis, most looking forward to next year, 15 seconds.
As I've shown, I will watch anything. So I'm not going to go with a specific show or movie, but I'm dying to go back to The Little and just watch anything. That's what I'm looking forward to. Getting some popcorn and sitting in a comfy velvet seat.
Oh, we all miss The Little. Thank you for that. Mark Myra, 2021, most looking forward to what?
Yeah, all the 30 series, Star Wars series coming out on Disney Plus, because I like Star Wars, so I'll watch some weird show about a droid, I don't know, going shopping or whatever, but so that'll be fun. And if they're all bad, I'm a Star Wars fan, so I also hate Star Wars too. It'll be fun to watch the bad ones.
Daniel Remo.
I will second The Little. But also, I'm excited about Peaky Blinders, hopefully coming back next year. And I'm excited about all of the Marvel spinoffs coming to Disney Plus as well, because I'm a big Marvel fan.
Love it. I want to thank all of our guests so much. We needed this fun, lighter conversation today. I really appreciate you all joining me. Vanessa Cheeks, Hannah Davis, Mark Myra, Danielle Ramo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Turn to them on Twitter for more TV and film advice. Our engineer, Rob Braden, my thanks to him, as always, for making our show sound good. He says more Stranger Things. That's what he's rooting for in 2021. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. He will be back with us on Wednesday. In the meantime, enjoy TV, enjoy film. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.